Thank you, worship team. All right, this is Thanksgiving week, and so we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. And this title makes a very, very bold claim. It says, Thanksgiving is God's will for you. Okay, Thanksgiving is God's will for you. And this is from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's our passage. It's really short, but we're going to break down what that means. And the first time I looked at it, I didn't realize that it says give thanks in all circumstances. And so we want to push against that and ask the question, is that true? Is it in all circumstances, are we really genuinely able to give thanks, right? And so if Scripture says that is the will of God for you, that you are able to, and you should, and you have to give thanks in all circumstances, is that actually true? Do Christians actually experience that in their life? Is this something that anyone who is in God's kingdom can experience? Thanksgiving is not something that comes natural to us. And so let's do a test case, okay? We're going to test this out. I have a mic runner at the back, and so I'm going to present us with three situations, okay? And we're going to ask ourselves, are we truly, genuinely able to give thanks in all of these circumstances? Because remember, the passage for today is, give thanks in all circumstances, for that is the will of God in you through Christ Jesus, okay? So this is the first scenario. Sunday service just ended, we're all heading back home, okay? And this happened along the way. Your boss calls you. You just got a promotion. Woo-hoo! Yes. You get 3 times the salary increase, okay? You get a new company car of your choosing. Yes. You get 6-week vacation, unheard of. And you get 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe, 6 weeks, unheard of. You get a penthouse office, all right? Can it get any better? Yes, it can. You just won a lifetime boba at Kung Fu Tea. See, this is an awesome, awesome day for you. This is a great day for you. So let me ask, Kevin, you got the mic over there. I'll ask Josh. Josh, tell me what's running through your head right now. What are you feeling?
I would be like, what are the odds of this happening?
What are the odds? But, okay, this really happened.
Okay.
This really happened.
Yeah, I would be totally grateful.
Totally, you know? Grateful.
Yeah.
What definitely. Would you give thanks for?
I would give thanks to this certain scenario and above all else, God.
Okay. So you give thanks for all these things and above all, God.
Yeah.
Okay, great answer. So I would think in this kind of situation, none of us are really going to complain, right? We're all going to give thanks. We're like, oh, God, you're so good to me. Lifetime boba, new penthouse office. And we're just going to be so thankful the whole day. Okay, so this is not something that we have to persuade you to have a thankful heart. We all naturally would be very thankful. Here's the next one. This is scenario number 2. Sunday service just ended, and you go home. You eat lunch. You take a nap. You binge on YouTube. You eat dinner. You go to bed. You wake up and go to work. Okay, this pretty much describes every day. All right, this is like my every day. Nothing super awesome that's going on. It's just a mundane, everyday kind of thing. All right, over there. John, you look like you want to say something. How would you react to this situation? Is this characteristics of your everyday life?
What was the question?
What is your feeling at this point? What do you want to express as far as your thoughts?
I mean, it's a pretty good day. I can't complain.
Can't complain?
Can't complain.
Would you feel very thankful?
I guess I'd feel a little thankful.
Okay. Just a little bit, not much. Most of us go through, thank you, Josh. most of us go through our day like that. That's our typical day, right? Nothing really exciting happened. No phone call from the boss. No 3x salary. Every day for the bulk of our lives would look like that. And I would say John's answer is also very typical. We really have nothing really to complain about because nothing bad happened. We might give thanks that we were able to nap or something like that, but for the most part, we don't have an overwhelming heart of thanksgiving, right? That's a mundane, everyday thing. So we can all agree that on most days, thanksgiving isn't something that's on our mind. We're not thinking of giving thanks because of what's going on. Okay, here's the third scenario. We just finished Sunday service and you're driving home. Your boss calls. Dun, dun, dun. You've been laid off. Oh no, bad news on Sunday morning. Okay, don't ever call someone on a weekend if you're gonna lay them off. Just been laid off. Your car breaks down on the way home. It's thunderstorming, it's raining. You're getting wet. You finally get home, a tree fell on your house. And on top of that, your dog died. Sadness, overwhelming sadness. Oh, terrible day, terrible day. Okay, Will. Tell me, Will, how are you feeling, Will? This just happened to you.
I would be very sad.
Very sad. What else?
I would probably not be thankful for many things.
All right, so thank you, Will. That would be our normal, typical response, right? Bad thing happened, absolutely no reason for us to be thankful for. We will probably complain. We will probably get a lot of anxiety because bad things just happen. God is definitely not in our thoughts right now. And even if God was in our thought, we would be thinking, God, why are you doing this to me? I just went to worship you on Sunday morning at church, right? I'm a faithful attendee. Why are you doing this to me? And so we complained. Some of us get angry at God of why our house is damaged, our dog is dead, I've been laid off, I got no job. And so normally you wouldn't have this kind of scenario, hopefully not. But if it does happen, which most of us are going to go through some iteration of this, right? Something bad happened. Thanksgiving is not something we would think of immediately. In fact, we're going to go the complete opposite and not only not give thanks, but probably start cursing. We'll have a very, just feel really angry and anxious through the day. And so if we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and say, God, how is it that you can even say that giving thanks in all circumstances is the will of God? How is that true? Because we certainly don't feel that. On an everyday, mundane life, we don't feel like giving thanks. If things that are bad happen, we are no way thinking about giving thanks. So how is this possible, right? And I would say because the vast majority of us have a non-biblical understanding of thanksgiving. Okay, it's not biblical. The way we understand giving thanks and thanksgiving is not biblical at all. Most of us understand Thanksgiving like what's going on Thursday, right? Thanksgiving, something good happened, we give thanks to God. We still have our health, give thanks to God. We still have a job, we give thanks to God. But what if nothing happens in our lives? What if bad things happen? The holiday Thanksgiving would say, well, you really don't have anything to give thanks for. And that's where it falls short of biblical thanksgiving. For someone who understands thanksgiving in the biblical sense, you are able to give thanks in all circumstances, whether things are going well, whether things are just mundane, or whether things are going horribly wrong. And that's why this passage is going to challenge us this morning and say, how is this even possible? How can a Christian have a heart of thanksgiving in all situations? So that's why we're going to dive a little bit into this text and unpack it and see other situations in the scripture where someone's heart is just filled with thanksgiving despite their situations, okay? And so let me just give some context as to why this passage is in 1 Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians is a book that's written to the church in Thessalonica. And this church is actually a very, very young church. The converts that are in this early church, they've probably been a Christian for a couple months. And what's going on there is that they're getting persecution from the Jewish people. And so they're being persecuted for what they believe in. And Paul's writing to them to encourage them and say, hey, I know persecution is going on right now to the early church, but he wrote to encourage them. They were very discouraged, and so Paul tells them, give thanks in all circumstances. Whether you're celebrating a new church plan or you are going through persecution from other people because of your faith. And so that's why Paul wrote this to that church. And we're going to see a couple examples in Scripture to see how is that even possible. Because we all acknowledge this morning that in scenario 2 and 3, it's not something that we would naturally do because nothing's been given to us. There's nothing to celebrate about. And so let's look at the biblical Thanksgiving and see how that's different and how is that possible for a Christian to truly, genuinely give thanks in all circumstances, okay? So the first story we're going to look at, the first narrative is from Luke chapter 1. So Luke chapter 1, verse 46. We're going to hone in on the person called Mary. And so Mary is the mother of Jesus. We know that Mary was pregnant, okay? So think about this scenario. Mary's probably about a high school girl's age. So some of these girls right here in high school. She's pregnant. We know from Scripture it says that the Spirit impregnated her, right? That Jesus came, his birth and his conception came from a virgin girl and through the Spirit. So it wasn't through her fiancé or betrothed, Joseph. Consider this for a moment. Mary going up to the man that she's going to get married, and she tells him, I'm pregnant, and it's not your baby. How would Joseph react, right? And think about this. You are a teenage girl. You're pregnant. You don't know if your betrothed husband is going to cut off the ties because he knows that's not his baby. If your neighbors found out, if your family relatives found out, there's a good chance they might stone you to death because that is the penalty for fornication and adultery. And so nothing is going good for you if you're married. Everything is against you. If you were in that situation, how would you react? That's probably scenario 3 for you. Okay, Mary's in scenario 3. Everything's going wrong. There's nothing good that she can give thanks for. But I want us to look at a passage in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, where Mary goes to Elizabeth's house. It's her relative. Now, we know Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. And so she goes there. Instead of complaining, instead of cursing God, because remember, God is the one that put her in this difficult situation in the first place, right? So she had all reasons to complain to God and blame God for her situation. But instead of doing that, she breaks out into a song. Can you believe that? How is this possible? This is what she sings about when she meets Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now, all generations will call me blessed. How is Mary thinking that she's the blessed one? For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary is incredible. If you are a teenage mom, this song would not be the first thing you would break out into, right? She's singing about how God is great. She's singing about how blessed she is. She's singing about God's great deeds across all generations. She's singing about the mercy of God. She's singing about how God has brought the Abraham and the descendants and how God has fulfilled on those promises. It's a bad day for Mary. How is it that she could give thanks in this situation? And this is just a teenage girl, man. She's got a lot to teach us, right? A girl that's in high school. Here's another situation. This is Genesis 45. Genesis 45, verse 3 to 7. Genesis 45, verse 3 to 7. So you might know the story of Joseph. Joseph was one of many brothers, and his brothers essentially beat him up, threw him in a hole, and sold him off to slavery. Okay? This is Joseph's life. He was sold off into slavery in Egypt. He was put in prison for a while. Nothing was going really good with him. He's been separated from his family, from his brother, and from his dad that he loves. He's in a foreign land all by himself. And there's a famine going on in the land. But through God's mighty hand, he's been promoted to second in command of all kingdom. Okay. I want us to read this passage in Genesis 45 where he meets his brothers, the brothers who beat him up and put him into slavery and caused him to be away from his family for a long time. I want us to see his reaction to his brothers when he meets them for the first time. Okay, so let me ask you, if you have family members who essentially cast you out of the family and you had to fend for yourself since you're a teenager, what would your reaction be when you see them again? Would it be a heart filled with thanksgiving? Probably not, right? Probably not. Again, this is like a scenario number three kind of thing. But in Genesis 45, let's read from verse 3 to 7. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. So they were afraid that Joseph were going to put him in jail or have him executed or for whatever reason because of the way they had treated Joseph. Verse 4, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' When they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" See, not only was he not angry with them, he tells them, he assures them. He says, okay, don't get stressed out. Don't be angry with yourself, because God had a higher plan. It says, "For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping." And right here, this is the key verse in verse 7. "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." See, the heart of Joseph, it wasn't one that was bitter. It wasn't one that was angry at his family members. He didn't want to kill them. He didn't want to put them in prison. Instead, he has a thankful heart, right? Thankful to God. He says, look at what God did. What you took as evil, God made good out of it. God sent me ahead of you so that he would save our family. Our family's dying. They have no food. But God put me here so that during this exact time of famine and need, I can bring you over and save the entire family. How is this possible? All of us have family issues, right? We got aunts and parents or siblings that we don't like. Maybe we don't want to forgive them. Maybe we don't want to reconcile with them. Normally, we just have no relations to do with them, right? Let alone reconcile with them and give thanks to God for them. How is Joseph able to do this? He does it because his eyes is on God, not on his situation. And let me give one last example here. This is in Matthew 26, verse 26 to 30. This is, of course, Jesus Christ, right? If we're going to look at someone's modeling their life, we want to look at Jesus. And in fact, I already read this passage while we were doing communion. This is the communion passage where Jesus talks about his impending death. He says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so picture this. You're about to die. You're about to give your life up. But yet in this moment, instead of Jesus being angry at God the Father for doing this to him, instead of being bitter at God the Father for wanting him to die in a very excruciating, painful manner, he gives thanks to God. And he explicitly says, this is my body. It's going to get broken for you. This is my blood. It's going to get drained out for you so that you may have cleansing from your sin. How is Jesus able to do this? This is scenario three where you're losing everything, including your life. But yet in this moment, he's able to give thanks to God the Father. You know, these three examples are just a sampling of Scripture, and there's so many of them. Over and over again, we see God's people, whether it's just normal days and they're just singing thanks to God, or it's excruciating, challenging situations, and yet they can continue to sing to God. And if you go to verse 30, it says, after Jesus did all that, they sung a hymn, right? I don't know, if I'm about to die, I don't think the first thing I would do is sing, let alone sing to God. And so these are situations that we see over and over and over again in Scripture. The people of God, regardless of what's going on in their lives, they have that supernatural, unexplainable ability to give thanks. Think about it this way. A thermometer versus a thermostat. And ask yourself, which one is this, okay? A thermometer is an instrument that measures temperature, right? It is reactive to what is happening around it. So if the temperature outside right now is 40 degrees, what does the thermometer indicate? 40, okay? If it's 100 degrees, what is the thermometer? 100. So it's got no control over itself. Whatever is going on in its environment is going to dictate what it's going to show, right? So if it's hot, it's going to say it's hot. If it's cold, it's going to say it's cold. And so many of us are like a thermometer. When things get difficult, we go cold. When things get difficult, we might go hot. So your situation is constantly speaking into how you react, how you respond, what you're thinking, who you're looking at. And so your life is constantly going up and down, depending on what's going on in your life, right? That's a thermometer. That's how all of us normally react to our situations. If I got an argument with Winnie, man, I'm blazing hot, right? I just want to argue back with her. If I see sadness, I get depressed. And so I have no control over how I feel. That's why when we did all those three scenarios, a lot of us just can't give thanks when things are bad or things are mundane, because we're just reacting to our situations. Here's a thermostat. You know, you probably have this in your home. You set it to a certain temperature and it stays there, right? It could be blazing hot in the summer, but in your house, it's a cool 70 degrees. It could be cold and snowing outside, but in your house, it's a comfortable 70 degrees. And so it doesn't get influenced by what's going around its circumstance. When we think about someone who is able to give thanks in all situations, because that's the will of God, it's like a thermostat, right? You have this internal anchor, something that just holds you down, so that regardless of what's going on, you can give thanks because you've been programmed. You've been programmed by the designer. You've been programmed by the homeowner. Someone has set your temperature to 70 degrees. So when things are going on around you, you don't swing up and down depending on the temperature. And Scripture tells us that we're like a thermometer before we know God, because we have no anchor for our souls, right? We're just kind of drifting around. We don't know God. We don't rely on God. We don't think about God. And so we just float around and react. But Scripture says when we come into a relationship with God, God's hands start programming that thermostat in our soul. And so when things are going wrong, we can still genuinely give thanks to God because God is setting that temperature. Here's a couple of verses that talks about how God sets that temperature in our lives so that we can give thanks regardless of what's going on. Acts 2:38, this is the great Pentecost that's going on, and a lot of people are listening to Peter preach, and the Spirit just in mighty ways blows across everyone that's listening. And this is Peter, he says this to them. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See, the Holy Spirit is what anchors us. We have no ability to anchor ourselves. We're very feeble, we're very weak, we react to our situations very emotionally. And so Peter tells us here that when we repent and are baptized in the name of Christ Jesus for our sins, the Spirit of God comes into our lives and it becomes an anchor. It holds us down so that regardless of what's going on, we know we are a child of God. Regardless of what's going on, we know that we are loved by God. Even if we're pushed away by family or whatever it is, we are anchored in Christ. In Galatians 2:20, it says this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." If you want to talk about self-worth, many of us have issues with that. Pause and think about this. God of all the universe loves you and gave his only son for you so that Christ may live in you. That's a thermostat. That's what anchors you down. Here's the last one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Again, we're told over and over and over and over and over again that when we are in Christ, when we are in God, when we repent of our sins and we allow the Spirit to change us, our internal body starts being programmed, reprogrammed by God, right? And that's the answer. That's how we are able to give thanks in all circumstances, because we are being reprogrammed by the Spirit of God. And this is genuine. It's not something that you're forced out. We saw three examples in Scripture today where they were in very difficult situations, but they could give thanks to God because they've been programmed and reprogrammed to see God for who he is. Let me share this picture with you. And this is something that happened in our lives. That's Winnie right there, and that's Eliza. She's a month old. My two favorite ladies right there. What you guys might not know is, because this picture looks nice, right? It's perfect. They both look happy. But what you might not know is that when Winnie had Aiden and Eliza, she had some pretty severe postpartum depression. Okay, so if you don't know, when you go into labor and your baby comes out, there is a period of time where you might get depressed because of your hormones that's kind of going through you and your body's trying to recalibrate back to normal. And so she got hit pretty bad. She would be crying all the time. She would get depressed. She had anxieties for long durations of time. Okay, and the doctor said you should just eat some antidepressant. Right? And she said, "No, I'm not going to go on meds." And so it got pretty bad one time. She called Pastor David Meng's wife. So Grace Meng, she called Grace Meng Shimu. And she said, "You know, it's not working. I'm praying for joy. I'm praying for happiness. I'm praying for this spirit of depression to get away from me. It's not working." And Grace Meng's answer to her was really good. She said, "You're praying the wrong prayer. You're praying the wrong prayer. What you should be praying for is giving glory to God and giving thanks to God." 感谢赞美主, okay? 感谢赞美主. And so she did that. And she changed, she scrapped all her previous prayers, and from then on, all she said was praise and thanks, glory to God. And it worked. She didn't have to take meds. She got over it. Her strength came from God. Her internal thermostat started reprogramming itself. So even though it was a difficult, challenging situation, you know, without sleep and hormonal changes and all that stuff, she could have a very steadfast spirit in her during this time. And so this is not stuff that's just in scripture. This is real life. Okay, this is things that we go through every day. The promises of God that says, it is my will that you can give thanks in all situations, is not an empty promise. It's not a theoretical promise. It is a real promise that all of us experience. And so when I read passages like this, I just get so encouraged. And I got a ton of stories in my own life that I can tell. But I want to end here just saying, you know, hang on to the promises of God. You genuinely can give thanks in all circumstances. So instead of giving you homework this week, I just have one item of request for you. Come for our Thanksgiving festival. So in your insert, you should get one of these things. It's called Thanksgiving Food Festival. This is this coming Thursday, okay? This is the annual event where our church comes together to celebrate God, to celebrate community. And so what we're going to do is have a worship and testimony service at 10, where folks are going to come up and give their testimonies, again, to express thanksgiving to God. And from 11:30 to 1:30, we have the food festival. It will get insane in here. And you want to come early because the food doesn't last till 1:30, okay? Generally, by 12:30, it's gone. So you got to come early and be ready to eat and fight people for food. But come, that is your homework for this week. Come and just enjoy the presence of God. Come and enjoy the community. And the proceeds that we get from the food festival is going to go to a local charity in Richmond. So you know at least the money that you're going to spend is going to go to a good cause. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. Sometimes we look at scriptures like today and we ask, is this even real? And God, you assure us it is. Because you show us so many examples in Scripture where people live your promises. And we pray for each person here today, God, that each person get to experience your promises, that each person get to genuinely, God, be changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, that we no longer conform to the world, God. Whatever the world is going through, Lord, we have an anchor for our soul that is Christ Jesus. We desire that, Lord. We want that. And so help each one of us here this morning, God, be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with our community here at GCBCR. We lift up the food festival to you, God. We pray that you bless it, and we pray that through the food festival, many people will come to know your greatness. We thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.